Thank you very much to Ilan again for always opening up our hearts, especially tonight. You know, Shlomo used to say, I never saw this in text, but maybe Reb Stui could tell me if he said, "Why it's not fair that Eretz Yisrael Yushalayim has to wait." Here, come. It's not fair that Yushalayim and Eretz Yisrael has to wait. Welcome. That why is it fair that the rest of the world has to wait for Purim? We get the, you know, Chutz La'aretz gets Purim before Yerushalayim. It should be the opposite. Yerushalayim has to wait another extra day. The whole Eretz Yisrael, the whole America, everyone's going crazy for it. So Reb Shlomo said, no. Reb Shlomo said, he said, now Eretz Yisrael goes first. We wait the entire year. You have to view it like that. Yerushalayim goes first. Then it's Chol Moed. And then everyone outside Yerushalayim goes. Simcha liyarsecha v'sasun liyirecha. If you could just define someone's life in four words, I don't know if there are any better four words than that. No, simcha liyarsecha v'sasun liyirecha. To someone who lived and breathed simcha and sasun. The Vilna Gaon actually has a pshat. What's the difference between the words simcha and sasun? Framberger once explained this. He said that simcha is that sudden burst of joy. It's that immediate joy that we get, sometimes at a simcha, at a good joke. But sason, gladness, sason is something that's everlasting. Sason is something that's forever. So simcha li'artzecha, when we had the Beis HaMikdash, our soul is beautiful. Sason li'irecha. Yirecha is Yerushalayim. No one can ever take Yerushalayim away from us. Kosal Maravi is Kodesh Kodeshim forever. So what we could say about the Kosal, we could say about Yerushalayim, Sason Liyirecha, we could say Dafka Barab Shlomo. As we get closer to Mashiach, I don't know anyone whose Torahs and Nigunim have been more alive and spread out and channeled throughout the world than Rab Shlomo. Rabbi Nachman and Uman, yes. Rabbi Nachman and Rab Shlomo are they're in the same base majors, 100%.
Reb Shlomo said everybody has to have two rabbis, Rabbi Nachman and their own rabbi.
And their own rabbi, there you go. No. I'm saying you can't explain it. As you get closer to Mashiach, Rabbi Nachman's name, his whole essence, everything he taught his entire life, his short life, 40 years, And Rabbi Shlomo was just picking up steam. So why is that? Why is it that when someone was alive, obviously people knew about Rabbi Shlomo, but everyone you ask, they'll tell you that only after he was Nifter, people started really, it started to be mefarshim, it started to be a little publicized. So this isn't the topic for tonight. This is just my intro. We have a little couple of extra minutes tonight. But Rav Weinberger once explained that based on a Chasam Sofer, my Rebbe Moshe Weinberger from Widmer, and he explained that in the war, in the Holocaust, there's some tzaddikim who had the ability to get out. They had the passports, they had the contact information to get out. One of them was the son of my Rebbe's, and they decided not to. And what was Pshat? Why did they say not to? Weinberger explained based on the Chasam Sofer that a tzaddik sometimes could do more in the next world than they could do in this world. When a tzaddik is bound by his guf in this world, he's bound by the physical world, there's only so much he could do for his kehillah, there's only so much he could do for the people that he connects with. So certain tzaddikim realized that it might be good for their family and for themselves and for their kehillah that to stay. Maybe we could say the same thing about Pshomo. Pshomo, obviously, his entire life was one bolt of sason simcha liyatzecha of sason liyarecha. He gave people simcha, that immediate joy that sason was, and they gave that to someone in neshama forever. But now the reason why maybe we could say is that his nagunim and his tires are they're catching fires because that he's not bound by this physical world anymore. He was cool in neshama. But he still had to live it in a guf. Now he's in the Olam HaEmes, Olam HaNeshamas. Just want to share a little quote from the this Kabbach Torah and Brachos that Reb Shlomo Katz Shlita will be zochah to have him in a month or so. Bez Hashem.
December 28th.
So he put together some Torahs from Reb Shlomo and Brachos, and then we can't forget about the Klazimiger Rebbe who we have the source of learning of the Torah from this year. Avram Avinu was davening for Sodom. Isn't that crazy? The most low, rotten city in the world. The law in Sodom was, if you were caught giving something to a poor man, they will kill you. I guess Abshama would have been killed many times. Basically, it was the biggest crime in the world. Why did Hashem destroy Sodom on that day? Listen to this, says Abshama. The daughter of Lot was Mamish Avram Avinu's greatest pupil. There was an old poor man living in Sodom. He was sick, but still alive. So in Sodom, if there was a poor old man, he eventually better die. How is he still living? So they investigated a little bit. They found out that Lot's little girl, who was 12 years old, is feeding them. So Nemech, you know what they did? They put her on top of a roof, covered her with honey, and the bees ate her up. It's the most painful death in the world. I guess that's a medrash. Let's see what he says here. So how could Avram Avinu pray for Sodom? This is classic Rav Shlomo 101. How could Avram Avinu pray for Sodom? They were the most rotten people in the world. They made the Nazis look like tzaddikim. That's possible. Yeah. Now listen to this craziest thing. Lot, the nephew of Avram Avinu, lived in Sodom, and he had two daughters. Eventually, Rus, mother of King David, Melech Mashiach, and eventually the mother of Mashiach came from Lot. So Avram Avinu's eyesight was so deep. When he looked at Sodom, he didn't see the impurity. He didn't see the sin. He didn't see the chitzonis. He saw the fire of Mashiach burning. Can you imagine? That means behind all the evil, behind all the disgusting, terrible things that we were going on, Avraham Avinu saw that mamash behind all of this, he saw something truly holy happening. And that's why he was so adamant with the Ribono Shel Olam to daven for the city of Sodom. I thought that was such an apropos way to just be able to explain. That was Reb Shlomo. The people who flocked to Reb Shlomo weren't the people who were, you know, everything was going well in their life. Usually it was the people who needed a little chizuk, who needed someone to show them that they were a diamond. And this could only be done by someone who truly sees the good, who truly has the mesiris nefesh of what it means to be a true tzaddik. Look in the close of the Rebbe on page 1. This is from the year Tav Shin Lam and Zayin, 1977. And the close of the Rebbe explained that by the brackets he said, Avraham Avinu didn't act like everyone else. Kishiroim Russia or Goy, when When we usually see someone who smells, someone who's a Russia, we kind of distance ourselves from them. Lo kein avravinu, shemir likros elo shenin malo kerabayim, ubikshem lisor lalo amar alem lisham shem. What happened? The opening pasuk of this week's parsha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was visiting Avraham Avinu after the Bris Milah, third day. And Avraham Avinu sees these three Arabs passing by. He says, sorry, Hashem, God, I gotta go. And he says over here, when Avraham, in last week's parsha, that he was hanging out with Ono, with Eshkol, Mamre, Behem, Bali, Bris Avraham. They were Amorites. They weren't Jews. So why was Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu even took advice from them. Right, Rashi says that why did Hashem appear in specifically Elone Mamre? So Rashi says because Mamre was the one who gave advice. Avraham Avinu, by the way, you should do the Bris Milah. You should do the Bris. Why is Avraham Avinu even hanging out with these guys? He should be hanging out with some tzaddikim. He's hanging out with Amorites. What's going on over here? And it says on the bottom of the first line by the brackets. So I don't know why Avraham Avinu was able to do this. He's able to hang out and to truly inspire others because he viewed himself like a regular person. He didn't view himself as Avraham Avinu. He didn't view himself as the bee's knees. I use that phrase with my kids this week. They're like, what does that mean? The bee's knees. Because he didn't view them as that he was better than him. That it's just an outlook on life. And that's why it says over here the opening pasuk. It says Vayar elav Hashem Elonei Mamre. Limud Hakasuk. You have to learn from this pasuk. Sheavram mol atzma mesiris nefesh la Hashem isparach b'chelko shemamre hamori. Avram Avinu did the Bris Milah in the chelik of Mamre. He did his Bris Milah. He did the Bris to himself. V'hu yoshev pesach ha'ol kechom ayom. And he was sitting outside his tent waiting for guests. And there are no guests coming. Right? We know Chazal tells us there are no guests coming. Kadosh Baruch Hu was visiting Avram. Hashem saw that Avram was in such pain that he didn't have guests. He was having pain, more spiritual pain than physical pain. And Hashem said, oh, okay, I'm gonna get going here. So the Gemara says actually, so the Gemara says that we learn from here, this interaction, that Hachnasas Orchim is greater than talking to the Shekhinah. So the Gemara says, the question is, how did Avraham Avinu know that? We know it because Avraham Avinu did it. The question is, how did Avraham Avinu know? So I saw in a sefer this week that when Avraham saw that it was so hot outside, he said, Hashem's making it hot, obviously, because he wants me to go help these people out. He doesn't have to tell me. This wouldn't happen to me. These people wouldn't be passing me by unless I had to go help them. So because it was hot, and he told these people, it must be that Hashem says he wants me to go, because then those people wouldn't have been there. V'zeo shenem are kind of yar pan beis haynu shizbonin sheim ha'anoshim hagunim yoyser mimenu lazem yir v'ayatsu l'rekrasim. Then the Avraham Avinu saw these three people. They were Arabs. They were people who were on the highest level, but he reached out to them. It was Mesiris Nefesh. I don't think there's great any Mesir more Mesiris Nefesh than the third day after Bris Milah. Now it was Reb Shlomo. Reb Shlomo was someone who didn't just say, okay, I'm done. I served the Rabbono Shlomo in America for a certain amount of years. His entire life was, it's just like he was never satisfied. He was always looking to do more. I don't have to say stories, a million stories out there. But he viewed everyone as a gem. Everyone is a star. That's why in last week's parsha, Hashem tells Avraham Avinu that the Klai Yisrael should be counted as stars. Kochav Hashemayim LaRov. Why stars? The Baal Shem Tov says, and we quoted this, we spoke about this, and a star, if you go outside tonight, it's a beautiful night tonight, you see a star in the sky, a star looks like it's very, very small. A star looks like it's tiny, like a little dot in the sky. If you take a plane or a rocket ship or whatever, from Buzz Lightyear or whatever. Mm. You go up to a star, you see a star's a huge ball of fire. Huge ball of fire. He says the same thing by a Jew. Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling Avraham Avinu, your children are going to be stars. They might look like, okay, sometimes they get involved with things they shouldn't get involved with, but down deep in a Jew's neshama, a Jew's core, even at Sodom's core, it's Mashiach, it's Kodesh Kadashim, it's the Shechina, it's a child of God, it's a prince and a princess of the Rabbanu Shalom.
I have a Shlomo Torah on that.
Yeah.
Shlomo would say that, that on Shabbos we have one of the third of Malachas is Borer. And he goes, first he explains, he goes, everybody knows that you keep two Shabboses, Mashiach will come, right? So what does it mean? He says that just like on Shabbos, in the Borer, it's not about the watermelon in the pits. It's about that the whole in the Borer is to look at the, it's only look take the good and not the bad. So Mamash, it's not about the, if that's the if Mamash would live our life like Shabbos, like only looking at the good, only taking the good, like only taking the watermelon, and not we meet somebody and whatever. Like you started the whole thing about Avraham Avinu and stone. And Shlomo says that about Shabbos.
Borer. One of the rules is you have to take the good from that. You can't
right.
take the bad from the good.
You can't take away the. You don't, that's why. But he goes, everybody's so busy with the pits of the watermelon. It's not about the watermelon. It's about how we live our lives.
Well, that's deep. We should just stop right there. He says that here in the Kol Rabbi on the second side. I'm trying to get past that Borer Torah for a second. It's still hitting me to my core. In 1983, Shaul Shudas, 6 years later, the Klozmer Rebbe had every reason to throw in the towel, had every reason to throw in everything. He says that Avraham Avinu was the first one to have a Beis Midrash, or the one who was going after others. Meaning, Adam and Noach learned Torah. We know famously, Chazal tells that Adam and Noach learned, whatever that means, and learned Torah. But Noach didn't recruit anyone. He didn't make anyone else closer to God. Avraham Avinu, it was his life goal. Right, Avram would reach out to the men. Sarah would reach out to the women, and he would teach them Torah. And that was Reb Shlomo's essence. It wasn't for himself. He was constantly giving to others, constantly looking at others' growth. And in that way, he helped himself grow. Obviously, when someone's constantly looking to help others, you're the only person you're helping is yourself. We started up tonight. We said the Torah from Reb Shlomo. We said by Sodom. How could it be that at the end of the day, Avraham Avinu is diving such people? Because Avraham Avinu saw a diamond. He saw Mashiach in them. How could it be? Why is it that Reb Shlomo, his neshama is even going greater and greater? Because we said from the Chasam Sofer, sometimes when a tzaddik is so bound by this world, there's only so much you can do in this world. But if you're in the next world, you're doing great, great things. And that's what Avraham Avinu saw the diamond in every person. Avraham Avinu saw the diamond in every situation. He saw the positive aspect in every situation. That was Reb Shlomo. Reb Shlomo, anyone could tell you that he made people feel like they were $100 million times 10. That's the vote of a Jew, to be able to look in every situation, every person within themselves. First and foremost, we always talk about this. To be able to look for the good in others, first you have to focus on the good in yourself. Such a poisonous society we live in nowadays that people suffer from such self-doubt about themselves. There wouldn't be such, these therapists wouldn't be making so much money if people just worked on their self-confidence every day. Looking at the diamond, thinking about how great they are. Not in an arrogant way, but in a sincere way. Just to be able to close with a story that brings out this maisa about looking for the positive in every situation. So last Motzei Shabbos, I had this chus to be at a dinner in Miami Beach. I usually don't like dinners, but when your in-laws tell you to come, to ask you to come to a dinner, you come to a dinner. This happened to be, it was a dinner for this new shul that's being built in Miami Beach called Avos Torah. The dinner was at a country club. That was the first Jewish event ever in there. It was on Alton Road. I forgot the name of the country club. It used to be 34 years. It said no Jews, no blacks, and no dogs. I'm telling you, this is what they said. Miami Beach. Just remember, we're not in Berlin. We're not in Michelin. So Rabbi Jacobson was a speaker, and he said the following story. He said that in Bnei Brak, after the Holocaust, there was this orphanage. It was an all girls orphanage, and every Friday night the girls would sing. They'd sing Friday night, and there was a neighbor next door, this Haredi guy, who was very upset about it because Kalisha, blah, 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 whatever. So he goes to the Panovich Rav and he says, it's enough that they're keeping me up at night giggling and laughing, but Friday night I'm trying to have a Zmiris on my table. I can't. Excuse me. So the Panovich Rav says, I don't know. Let's go to the Chazon Ish. 1950, that Chazon Ish was Yartza was yesterday. Yesterday. Shach is today?
Yeah, it was last night.
Chazon Ish was yesterday. So you go to the Chazon Ish, and this is such a Reb Shlomo. This is Reb Shlomo, he lived this Maisa. So the takes this guy and they bring him to the Chazon Ish to tell him all the details. The girls, they're orphans, they're singing Friday night. Is it called Isha? What, should we shut it down? What should we do? So Chazon Ish said, 1 second. These girls they're singing. They don't have any families left anymore. But they're still singing to their Bona Shalom on Friday night, still singing Zmiros. They don't have their parents anymore. Relax with your Borer. Look for the good. Of course they should continue singing. They're still singing. You ever wonder why Shlomo's Neshama was brought right after the Holocaust? It was Pasha. The Chai Yisrael needed Eretz Yisrael. We needed 1948. We also needed Reb Shlomo. Be able to say at the end of the day to know how special each and everyone else are. Be able to say that we have to keep on singing. That Am Yisrael Chai. That no matter what happens in our lives, always look for the good in ourselves, good in every situation. Be'ez Hashem, we should do this. Be'ezoch, Be'ez Hashem, to see Reb Shlomo very soon in Yerushalayim, Yer Kodesh.
Amen. Di la di 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 di
Ya na 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 na